the Lord help us to commence this morning with the first five verses of hymn 780. We'll hope to sing the remainder for the middle hymn. Come, my soul, and let us try for a little season every burden to lay by. Come and let us reason, what is this that casts thee down? Who are those that grieve thee? Speak and let the worst be known. Speaking may relieve thee. Hymn 780, verses 1 to 5.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the prophet Jonah, chapters 1 and 2. The prophet Jonah, chapters 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried, and every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? He said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. He said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Let us pray. Most holy, eternal, almighty, Lord God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, ever merciful, ever gracious, long-suffering, forbearing, we fall down before our Maker, we fall down before one whom we shall stand before one day. Great God of heaven, have mercy on us, have mercy on us, and bless thy word this day. Awaken into eternal life, awaken into great need those who are careless and indifferent. Bring them to feel their sinnership and their woe. Dear Lord, remember thy people who gather, those who are in living exercise, those who long to hear from thee, those who long to see thy face by living faith, those who long for the gift of God, which is eternal life. O Lord, those who cleave to thee and plead thy precious name, O Son of God, Son of David. Those who plead thy precious sin atoning blood for their awful sin, their awful heart, their wicked, corrupt nature. Hear the cries of thy people, do reveal thyself again as the Lord, their God, their Redeemer, their Saviour. Dear Lord, thou knowest how each of us have come. May there be that Spirit in us, so as we would see Jesus. To look down from heaven where thou art, blessed Emmanuel, Son of God. Do thou look down now and have compassion on us. May we humbly come before thee now, confessing our sins. We come to thy house in prayer. We come to thy house in need. Lord, we long to know of him, more of him, whom our soul loveth, whom we need, whom we love by thy grace, who we cleave to, for we cannot love thee except thou first love us and make thyself longed for, precious, knowable. Oh, we will come before the Son of God, our only mediator between God and us, our poor hearts, our poor lives. Be our Redeemer, to have our life redeemed by thy death and by thy blood. O Lord, we would humble ourselves. Oh, we would humble ourselves. It's so vital, it must be so. We would be abased, maybe lay passive in thy hand, for thou hast suffered for our sin. Oh, the indulgence in the mind of corruption. God, be merciful to us forever. Lord, but what a fullness we long to discover afresh of the depths of thy suffering and love and the putting away of that sin. Can it be so? Can we stand wholly forgiven, completely? Oh, may we be found complete in thee, in thy righteousness, in thy grace, in thy life. Lord, is my life hid with thee in God, in Christ Jesus? O dear Lord, we do come to inquire and ask for those tokens, for the sealing of the Spirit, that we are in union with the Lamb and shall never perish. Dear Lord, we are perishing in the body day by day, and the end draweth on, and none can say how nigh, if we know not. O prepare us, make us ready. There's only one readiness I know of, to abide under thy shadow and to taste thy fruit. O, we pray for these blessings. We come now asking thy blessing on thy house this day, on the services in Zion, and we beg thy presence in this thy house. Leave us not to worship in vain. Make the word of God to go forth in power unto our souls. Be exalted, O Son of God, be greatly exalted in our midst. We would fall down now, confessing our sins. Pray for this house of prayer, Lord, and what we pray for this house of prayer, we pray for the causes of Zion. Remember the friends of Black Boys and Horam this day. Remember thy servants, bless them. Lord, remember the deacons here, our dear friends, the deacons. O Lord, be with them, uphold them, bless them, their families, that which pertains unto them. Remember the church, the congregation collective. God, be merciful to them. Remember those in senior years coming to the end. We understand a one in great weakness and frailty to visit her soul. Remember all in middle life in the heat and burden of business and the day. Turn them aside to seek thy face. Prepare for thy will. Bless abundantly. Remember young people going forth in life, business, study, so forth, while we pray for their prosperity. Lord, we pray, open their eyes. May they bear the yoke in their youth. May they be brought to thy feet with nothing. Reveal the fullness of thy life and thy grace unto them on their behalf. Remember the dear children, the sweet babes. May they be heirs of glory. Bless the Sunday school in this house. Bless the dear children. Bless the ministry that comes here, thy servants. I grant thy blessing on the word. Be exalted, O Lamb of God. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering. Sanctify these things for our soul's profit. They bring us closer. O Lord, grant healing mercies. May there be that opening up of thy suffering for our sin. O grant healing mercies. Have compassion. Heal. Restore. But restore salvation. Restore the life of faith. Restore grace. Not that grace can be lost. It cannot. But Lord, or for thee to shine through the clouds of the reproach that we have brought upon our own head. Well, we pray for this house of prayer, we pray for Zion, we pray for thy servants. Think of the editors of our denominational magazines, secretaries of our charitable societies. Bless them in their labours. Remember thy servants. Do return in power and the ministry in our churches. We pray for thy one church through the earth, the spiritual Israel in this land and through the world, the missionaries, where thy name is feared, thy word is read, thy people in deprivation and at war and persecution and genocide, afflictions, make ways of escape, visit their souls. Have mercy on England in these dark, solemn times. Undertake for us in the coming general election. Grant a government, dear Lord, that will know what to do in negotiations concerning separation from Europe. But we have sinned. Overthrow the proposed British Values Declaration, we humbly pray. Remember our Queen, our Royal House, have compassion. Undertake for us on the throne when she is gone. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage, Lord. Civil liberties, freedom to worship. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy mercies. We will be very mindful of all thy mercies. Thy kindness, thy provision, answers to prayer, preservation. O, cause us to turn to thee, draw us by thy grace. We thank thee for those spiritual mercies, eternal mercies. We have thy throne of grace. We have thy word. We have thy precious sin atoning blood. We have thyself and the gift of the Holy Ghost. These are unspeakable. May our soul be eternally favoured with these mercies working in us unto glory. We deserve nothing at thy hand. We deserve hell. We confess our sins. We plead thy blood. We look alone to thee and thy word. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Order my footsteps daily by thy word. Keep me near thee, Lord, near thy feet. Holy Spirit, be doing our midst this day. O Son of God, Son of David, I plead thy name before the throne. Great God of heaven, I plead the name of thine only begotten one, whom thou hast provided as a ransom for our life, for my life. Oh, may I know that ransom paid for me. I plead his name before thy throne. O Lord Jesus, come. into our midst. We ask all things in thy name and for thy sake. Come, bless us. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come, come, come. Amen.
Hymn 780, commencing at verse 6. Faith, when void of works, is dead. This the Scriptures witness. And what works have I to plead, who am all unfitness? All my powers are depraved, blind, perverse, and filthy. If from death I'm fully saved, why am I not healthy? 780, commencing at verse 6.
in a complete dependence upon the Lord for needed help. We'll draw your attention to the prophet Jonah, chapter 2 and verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Jonah 2, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Jonah was a prophet in the time of King Jeroboam the second of Israel and King Amaziah. He is mentioned in their reigns. That's Amaziah of Judah. He loved the Lord. He feared God. He was a prophet raised up of God. And what he prophesied was fulfilled concerning the oppression of Israel and some easement of their troubles. But we have here an account of his disobedience, his running away from the Lord, his lack of relying on God alone. The word of the Lord would have been very real in Jonah's heart. If you have eternal life in your soul, you have tasted realities, not always in exercise, but the sweetness is remembered. Jonah would have had communion with God from time to time, and the Lord spoke to him. The word didn't just float into his head, as it might us, bits of the Bible might drop in. The word of the Lord came to him with an instruction that he was to go to Nineveh. But Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord. Now that looks a most unforgivable sin. But what it means is he ran not from God, literally, in his heart, in his affections, but from the exercise, the burden of his soul. How could he go to that heathen city, that mighty city, the very one that was oppressing his own nation? How could he go there and preach repentance and so forth? It was too much for him. It was too much for him. And he ran away from what the Lord had told him to do. Now, in a sense, you may say, well, that surely is running away from the Lord, but not in heart. Not in heart. See divine protection over him. He had legitimate fears that he could be killed. But where was his... We know not his burdens. How could it be understood, even? When they worshipped heathen gods. But where was Jonah's faith? And where's our faith? Is it an exercise? Can the Lord manage? Can the power of heaven come forth and be with you? Will the Lord fulfill his word? Where was Jonah's faith? The point is, we come to this. His faith was low, as we have been singing concerning in the hymn, the exercise of soul in the heart. Jonah was proving here his own weakness and his own corruption. But he, through this great trial and through the judgments of God on him, he came to that conclusion: salvation is of the Lord. It is of the Lord. And Jonah knew the Lord. Well, Jonah, I won't keep going on in the context because you know the account anyway. But see how the way was made for him to run away. It looked easy. But soon something happened. Soon a storm arose. If you go in a wrong direction, and it's not of the Lord's will, a storm will arise. It's a very solemn word, you know. He that, being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It's a very solemn word. But Jonah, in that sense, wasn't hardening his neck. But God's people fear to do so. They fear to do so. The storm arose, and strangely, Jonah was asleep. He was found outwardly in where his soul was, gone fast asleep. From the glories, the mercies, the gift, the life from heaven, the breath of God, of living faith. Faith is the breath of God in the soul. I know our life comes from God in that sense, but it is God's breathing of grace and love into our heart. It's a gift of God, a full gift of God. It does not dwell in man. It doesn't come from man. It is a free gift given. In the new creation, created by God in the soul. But he was soon awoken and faced reality. But you know the Lord. Look at the grace of God toward him. In your pathway, can you discover, can you see, can you behold any forbearance of God with you? Any long-suffering of God toward you? Wonderful if you can, you know. Wonderful if you can. Get on your knees and be humble and thank him. But plead for grace to know and do his will. Plead for grace to rise up and fall into his hand. Lay passive. You may be walking, you may be working, you may have a lot to do, but to lay passive, I mean spiritually, there may be a lot of heavy exercise upon your soul, but oh, to lay in his will. Well, there's another glory here concerning Jonah, and that is what the Lord Jesus himself said. You younger friends may wonder why the Lord Jesus did not always do great miracles or show signs. Certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. It looks so plausible, doesn't it? But they hated him and their unbelief. They hated him. They said they'd believe if he did some signs. Their true belief is not down to man to decide. He answered and said unto them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. They didn't seek for their salvation. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment of this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The blessing of God will bring you to a place, a blessed place, a wonderful place, A place, if you're living now, you desire to know and to realize something of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus for your sin. And this is known as fellowship with him in his sufferings. And Jonah, for his disobedience, was brought to this blessing. Not just a deliverance out of a great trial, but he was brought to taste something of the bitterness that his Saviour was brought to. Christ was brought to suffer for us, and you will be favoured in your soul to know something of the cost, though so painful and terrible. Yet, if that is a real experience, it will be through living faith, looking to him alone in the fullness of his grace. This was Jonah's experience. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Out of the belly of hell cried I. Think of the dear Redeemer. Do we hardly, how could you understand the awfulness of sin and the cost of sin except you are brought to a great strait for your own sin and have to cry to the Lord for mercy? Thus cast me into the deep. Think of this spiritually. Anyone here this morning cast into the deep, deep tribulation. Business, family, personal, affliction in body, worries of the future. Friend, if you're the Lord's, your times are in his hand. The Lord has done this. It's a great mercy to see. I say this carefully. When you see the Lord has done this in your pathway, in your life. Laid you low, perhaps spiritually, perhaps providentially. What did Christ come to for your salvation? What has Christ come to, friend, in the garden and in the judgment hall and at Calvary? For your redemption, the bitterness of your sin, the punishment of your sin. But intermingled with this was life. Jonah had life in his soul. And if you've got life in your soul, that life cannot die. What did the Lord Jesus say? I spoke from it on Tuesday. I can't think how it starts. I know the preceding verses. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he dead, yet shall he live. This is it. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What does Christ put first? Liveth before believeth. Liveth before believeth. That's God's order. And that life comes from heaven, comes from the bosom of the Father, in Christ, through Christ, brought by the Holy Spirit. Whoso liveth, are you living upon Christ? Are you living in him? Are you living in his word? Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Never die. Yes, the body will die. But your life will never die. Your soul will never die. Your inner person, your personality, if you will. And I'm talking about natural personality and dispositions. But the very person of your being shall never die. Believest thou this? He says to Martha. Friend, are we living in the Lord Jesus Christ? Jonah was living in God. He was God's prophet, God's servant. But what a character. What a rebel. What a rebel. Oh dear, are you shocked at Jonah, or are you more shocked at yourself? Are you shocked at Jonah? You know, we have wondered ourselves about Jonah's peevishness after Nineveh repented. But I've been brought to places, dear friend, where I wondered about myself, not Jonah. Always complaining. Well, no, that's not. Well, the Lord, in our heart, that is. Always doubting. Always disagreeing. Always not liking the Lord's dealings. You know, if you get to glory, if you get to heaven, you'll love every dealing of God with you, even his silence. You'll adore him for his silence to you at times in trial on earth. Why? Because he loved you still then. You're fully redeemed. And he was showing you what you are being saved from. Not that a living soul can love God's silence. He longs for the kisses of his mouth. He longs for the living waters to flow from heaven. Whom his soul loveth. It's love in the heart that longs for the word of God. To receive of him. Not just escape from trouble or escape from hell. That's part of the fullness of the blessing. But you can't give yourself that love, you know. And that love shines in the deliverance and the salvation from the bottomless pit which you so deserve. When we get to glory, none of God's dealings with you will be wrong. It would not be heaven if it was so. Jonah was a difficult man. A peevish man. And he protested in the last chapter and so forth of his thesis. But see, this was written for our instruction. Jonah is in glory. Friend, what a mercy these men's sins are recorded. How would you have hope if they weren't? But I want to come to the word. Here we have the exercise of a living soul. And we have a wonderful word before us. When my soul fainted within me. Look at the faintings. Why the faintings? Many reasons for the faintings. What we have to discover, dear friend, is that our nature is alienated against God's will and mind, completely and wholly. There's no good part in nature, the old nature, the old man. It's the new principle of life that works in our life that gives that willingness and desire to fall into the Lord's hands and wait patiently for him. Patience, spiritual patience, is a gift of God. The faintings. Now the Lord, I know, orders these, but he's not the author of our unbelief. He's the author of living faith. Why are you fainting? Well, I can't tell you why you're fainting. I think you know yourself if you are fainting. I know why I faint. My soul fainted within me. When a person faints, literally, of course, in the body, they become semi-conscious or unconscious. Therefore, they are not aware of what is happening around them. Spiritually, we lose sight, we lose connection, but we lose understanding concerning our living hope concerning Christ, concerning his will, concerning his blessing, wandered. It will bring a fainting. But the Lord sees fit to order this. He appoints the trial of faith. And those hymns, the hymn we've been singing, was your heart in it? Is your heart in it? If your soul longs for the Lord to reveal himself to you, and he doesn't, it's bound to bring a fainting. Abraham, I know Paul says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he did plenty of staggering. What he meant was, Paul was, he didn't give way. He still held fast. He still held fast amidst the trials and the mistakes he made. My soul fainted within me. The psalmist often expresses these things. In that psalm concerning Christ's sufferings in 22, you know, the dear David went through these things, you see. David was expressing his own soul's experience, but I believe he had an understanding concerning something of the Messiah's to come. I believe he did. And probably increasingly so as he got older. But he says, I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. To be poured out like water, friends, you can't gather the water up. You feel to have lost everything, all hope. Where's the experience gone? Where's the promise gone? And to all my bones are out of joint. Friends, if your bones are out of joint, you can't work, you can't walk. Think of that spiritually. My heart is like wax. It's got no form any longer. It's melted down like wax. I see not my signs. It is melted in the midst of my bowels, where the agonies lie. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Your strength gone. You're not able to pray. Your tongue. I know we pray in heart, but we speak with our mouth, our tongue movement, and our lips and teeth and so forth. The tongue is preeminent in speaking. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Death is before us. My soul fainted with him. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, many trials, afflictions, worries, anxieties, things going wrong, my life has changed. You feel it's not changing for the better. Well, it is changing for the better if you're crying to the Lord. But you see, dear friend, we rest on the outward things of comfort, families, homes, business, what we're used to, a locality, all these things we hold fast to. When you're young, you don't realize what you're holding on to. When you get older, these things begin to change. Change and decay and all around I see. Thou changest not, abide with me. Friend, the Lord sees fit to change our lives as we get older for a reason, that we should not nest here, rest here. There's one who changes not. Grace doesn't change. Love doesn't change. Salvation doesn't change. Overwhelmed. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Well, this is the trial. When my soul fainted within me, Jonah. Oh, Jonah, You see, Jonah, preaching in Israel, fearing the Lord, the word of the Lord blessing, then he's given a commission of God to go somewhere else, and he doesn't want to go, and he runs away, full of peevishness. Then the storm comes, his eyes are opened, he admits his wrong, he's into the sea, he's in the whale's belly. What faith is given him? What sweetness? What humility? What confession? Living faith is there, in the fish's belly. It's there, it's there. David say? And David knew these things in experience. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Jonah, you're in a desperate mess. It's awful. It's awful. How are you going to be living, Jonah? Can you still breathe? You can't get from God's spirit a specially prepared fish that he could live and breathe. This is the glory of God. Is your soul still alive in the midst of deep waters? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? Jonah, you've gone from the Lord's presence, but you haven't, you know. You won't go from the Lord's presence. You never can if you're his. He's graven you on the palms of his hands. Your walls are continually before him. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. The high place, the deep place, the very place where God is, the very place where he isn't. The very place where he is not. You can't flee from his presence. He's not in your sin, you know. He's not in your heart wanderings. He's not in your backslidings. But you don't flee from his presence. You don't get from his presence. You can't escape him. That's mercy. That's grace. That's wonderful. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, which is what Jonah was trying to do, and no doubt David knew this soul experience, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And it was, and it was. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Now that's your trial staring at you, isn't it? Your night is light. Can you see the Lord? It becomes light when you see the Lord's hand in it. That's when it becomes daylight. The darkness and the light are the same unto God, you know. Of course, he is light. Well, we have a wonderful thing in our text. When my soul fainted within me, and I could go on more with the faintings and the but you know why you're, oh friend, you're fainting with desire, with need, longing. Jesus, speak. Oh, do come. Longing for the fulfillment of his promises, word. Longing for a fuller, longing to be found on the rock. Longing to answer your prayers. Longing to appear for you in that great matter. I remembered the Lord. Friend, this is the day dawning. It was for Jonah. The faithfulness of the sun comes round. It's not the sun's faithfulness, it's God's faithfulness. The sun comes round. Another day comes. You know, in this earth, you know, God's faithfulness is seen in day and night, as was promised to Noah. It should not cease, and so forth. There is an eternal day coming where there is no change. How awful to be lost. How blessed, wonderful to be saved. But this is another day dawning, a renewing, a reviving, a discovery of God's faithfulness, a discovery of who he is. He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He cannot forsake the work of his hands. He always will and always does, next week and next year, as he did a year ago, 10 years ago, regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Jonah's brought to nothing in himself, and he's brought to everything in God, nothing in self, ashamed, everything in the Lamb, everything in him. What a discovery. Friend, he's got that grace already, but there it is, it's lying dormant, you see. This is God's purpose. And in the mysterious dealings of God, he's not the author of confusion, but how his permissive will allowed Jonah, he took the very rebellious natural man to be a prophet of the Lord. He takes some of the worst characters to sit around his throne, the cow, the calf, the bear, the lion, the leopard, and so forth, to adore him. Friend, it won't be just you in heaven. It'll be Christ in you as he is now by faith. There will be a fullness of oneness with him. We won't go to heaven raw as we are in our nature. We've got to die, that's got to die. I remember the Lord. What a blessed word that is, you know. In Psalm 77, we have dear Asaph. He says this, I remember God and was troubled. You know, I think Jonah was like that. In the boat, when the storm came, he began to be troubled. But he soon fell asleep in trouble, didn't he? And I've done that. Until the Lord wakes us up. Friend, we go to sleep in our sin. We go to sleep in when we're wrong. But the Lord soon wakes us up. Well, I know the captain didn't, but that was ordered of God. How can you be asleep in a storm? How can you be asleep in carnality when you're a child of God? How can you be asleep in backsliding? Well, we have been. We're no different. But he says something else. And he goes, and I often look at these words. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. My spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? What's your answer? God will answer you by grace and love. You fear he will. You deserve it. You deserve it. We deserve it. But he won't. He cannot. He ceases to be God if he could cast off forever. Will he be favourable no more? Ah, well, perhaps. Perhaps he will. Maybe a long time before he turns. What's the answer? He cannot cease but to be favourable to his own, whom he's ransomed with his blood. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? I wish I could linger here, but time is running from me. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Well, he has for a season, all these things for a season, because of our folly, because of our unbelief. And our folly, friend, is serving ourselves rather than putting the Lord first. Is there anything in your life that will cause war, will come in between, will make a barrier between your soul and the Lord? It cannot be right. And that God is a jealous God. But we have our own ideas. We admit how we need grace, and I need it myself, to seek the Lord in permission for every step we take. We need permission of God. We need his blessing on it. And I said, This is my infirmity, and it is. It is my infirmity. The infirmity of sin belongs to me. And all its consequences. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember thy wonders of old. Now, what have we got here? We've got three things. Remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Christ's glory. Christ's person. The right hand of God. I remember him, a God of mercy. His fullness, friend, his precious sin atoning blood, his death, sacrifice for sin, his very person, his priesthood. I remember when my soul fainted within me, says, I remembered the Lord. I remembered Christ. I know Christ was not, hadn't come in, but he was, he's the eternal one. He always was in the office of priesthood. Before his advent on earth, he always stood in the fullness of his glory as appointed by the Father, as a mediator between God and man. Look how he wrestled with Jacob. Look how he appeared to Joshua and so forth, and to Daniel, and to Abraham. A daysman. The glory of Christ has not changed. The wonderful glory that did come was the promise of his advent manifest in flesh. In his glorious appointed offices, they ever stood, and he worked in them before he suffered in the flesh. Now that is the fullness of the salvation, the suffering in the flesh. His human soul, a substitute for your life. You're a ransom for sinners. But our time has run. And the second thing is, I remember the works of the Lord. The works of the Lord. Friend, Christ's works. Work in your soul. The work in your soul. His dealings with you. And Jonah's waking up now. The word of the Lord came to him. The word the Lord spake. It must be true. All the willingness now to do the Lord's will arises in his heart. Even in that belly of hell, he's trapped there. He couldn't get out. What are you going to do now, Jonah? How are you going to get out of this trouble? Remember the works of the Lord. His mighty power in grace. And the third thing, remember thy wonders of old. By wonders of old. Friend, his love. Oh, so precious, so sweet. Oh, what is forgiveness? Oh, the wonders of it. I know some here are seeking it and haven't had it perhaps. But you know what you want, don't you? How do you know what you want? That's because of grace working in the heart, you know. How can Christ be made precious to your soul before he's revealed to you? In want and need. That's grace working in the soul. It's got to be. Otherwise you wouldn't want him. Are you seeking for something you've got no understanding of? No one would do that. You don't do it in grace either. You see in the lattice of the gospel. Mercy, grace, peace, salvation, fullness, love with Christ. You haven't received it in your heart. Yet your soul longs for it. It's put there by the Spirit. I remembered the Lord. Well, what a mercy, friend. Oh, you're remembering the days of old. Years of the right hand of the Most High. His work. Jonah did. And my prayer came in unto thee. Into the presence of God. My prayer. What sort of prayer was that, friend? Absolute confession. Speaking of what he was in, what he was going through, the horrors, his sin, his forgetfulness, his rebellion. Rebellious thou hast been. and art rebellious still. Do you know that hymn? But since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. And he goes on to say, and it's a very good hymn, I bound thee up secure midst all the rage of hell. You'll feel that in your heart, you know. The curse thou never shalt endure, for I am unchangeable. My son, give me thy heart. Let me thy sorrows bear. 'Tis not thy caution, power art, can save thee from despair. And good Henry Fowler has got it right here. He says, Lord, captivate my soul. It's for him to do it. Lord, captivate my soul. Subdue the power of sin. My vile corruptions, oh, control. Let faith, that precious gift, the battle win. Jonah's got this living faith where he is now. And what a prayer. What a prayer. And he said earlier, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again, again, again toward the holy temple. How many agains are you having to go through? Friend, they don't change, do they? And nor does the Lord. And in that again, again and again, you discover the fullness and the stability of the covenant of God. I remember the Lord. Now, we want some substance here. Friend, what do you need? Or for a glimpse? Well, we don't want to wander off onto imaginations, but, dear friend, there was a real suffering for sin. Him whom your soul loved, his visage so marred more than any other man. Oh, Jonah. His prayer went into the holy temple where the sacrifice was. That'll break your heart, you know. If Christ's sufferings don't break your spirit, they've done nothing for you. That's a bold statement to make, but what else can I say? It's true. His sufferings must break our heart. Break us. Make us passive in his hand. Make us humble. Abhor ourselves in dust and ashes. But aren't they precious? Look at that precious flood, that blood. Life, life, life. Friend, it's been given to the church. It's been given to the church. It's been given to his people. If there's any fear of God in your heart, and it's through the Spirit, the life was in the blood, given as a ransom price to the church, spiritually, the life of Christ. When you speak of union, you know, with Christ, in union with him, right, as in union with the Lamb, it's a wonderful thing. But you know, it's a spiritual oneness in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And one in him, in the bosom of the Father. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Mine, Jonah, his prayer, cries, confessions, groanings, reality in his soul. He was pouring out to God, looking to the that sacrifice lives. The precious blood speaks. What a mountain of sin. What a mountain of unbelief. What a mountain of wretchedness. All the fullness, my life, my God, my Lord, everything there. And Jonah knows his prayer's entering into heaven, you know. I know it was entering into the holy temple it speaks of. Even, where's the text? Even into, lost it. Into thine holy temple, it says. Into thy holy temple. You see, that was the appointed place in the old dispensation because the fullness of Christ hadn't been fully, he'd been revealed, but he hadn't been fully realized in the flesh, wherein the fullness was displayed and known, the glory of the salvation and putting away of sin.
See, that's where God promised to meet his people, and there he dwelt, in the tabernacle, in the desert, in the temple. It's a terrible thing when the temple was destroyed, you know, at the Babylonian in captivity. It was a terrible thing, an awful judgment. It was a terrible judgment. But it was restored. Now, it's not into the temple. Your prayers enter heaven. Through Jesus' name, through Christ's name, through his blood, through his righteousness. And Jonah sees all the glory of the temple. What do you see? Christ risen. Because I live, ye shall live also. The resurrection and the life. And I'll go to that word again. I am, says Christ. Martha says, when the Lord says to him, to her, thy brother shall live again, he says, I know, she says, I know he'll live at the resurrection. Ah, you're looking too low, Martha. You're looking far too low. You look at me. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though you were dead, though you're in the belly of hell, though you're rebellious, though you're like Jonah, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? What is your heart? Oh, increase my faith, Lord. Oh, I want to feel it. I want to know it. I want to breathe it. Salvation is of the Lord. My prayer. Well, what is your prayer this morning? You know, if it's in Jesus' name, with brokenness and tears and longings, it's entering heaven. It's entering heaven where Christ is. You're on the earth, but your breath, your cry, your heart is entering heaven. You can't see anything, but it's being received in the glory of God's Son in Christ. And your prayer must be answered in his time. You know, prayer in Christ's name is not wasted. I know in providential things we have to yield to the Lord. But you know, the old folks used to say, first things first. And the Lord will put that first thing in your heart. Friend, when your body lies corrupting, dying, spirit, nothing left. No pleasure left. No tomorrows on this earth. Let my soul live, it shall praise thee. Entering glory. Your prayer enters heaven. Are you pleading in Jesus' name? Friend, it's a prayer of necessity. This prayer of necessity. The shame that faced Jonah. The sorrow that faced Jonah. Friend, and he faced death. He faced death. He faced, I'm not going to say he faced hell, but he faced death. He faced God's dealings of judgment. And when the Lord brings you that, those judgments are very, very real. Very, very real and very true. And God intends it to be so. That your prayer, your cry in Jesus' name, enters heaven, enters glory. Well, is your soul fainting within you? May you be given, may I be given that grace to remember the years of the right hand of the Most High, Christ. The works of the Lord. His wonders. His wonders. His wonders. Ah, remember the Lord. What a mercy. What a mercy. Do you remember his promise? It comes so real. You remember is appearing to your soul. I love that hymn, I must sit down. It's 5:2. I mustn't go on, but you know, I delivered thee when bound. Do you know it? And when wounded, healed thy wound. Sought thee wandering, set thee right. Turn thy darkness into light. Can a woman's tender care cease to ward the child she bear? Yes, they may forget me, yet will I remember thee. Mine is an unchanging love, higher than the heights above, deeper than the depths beneath, free and faithful, strong and deeper than the depths beneath, deeper than hell. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple.
Collections last Lord's Day, which were for famine relief in Africa, amounted to £2,319.02, for which we are truly thankful. God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday, and Mr. Riddell next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 209. Grace like a fountain ever flows, fresh succours to renew. The Lord my wants and weakness knows, my sins and sorrows too. 209.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.